A Thousand Lives Lived podcast. The podcast where a thousand lives come to life. Where mysterious creatures take flight. Where the blind lead and where space is transversible. A place where the imagination is unleashed. Anything can happen. Hi, friends. Welcome to the show. My name is Hazel Danes. And
I'm Tamara Lindsay.
And today we're offering some bonus content within our world building series. We're going to be talking about how we create our characters, or in this case, with our book that we were building a few bonus episodes before. It's going to be a creature and a couple races within the creatures, because this is a fantasy slash sci-fi novel that we've created. We're going to talk about how we create these creatures, like what's the process in our heads and how do we get them out into like a visual, and how the process can be difficult. We're going to outline again a little bit about what our world is so that you're not disoriented.
It's really exciting because you get to go along with us. We have not created this world ahead of time. This is just on the fly. So if you listened to our last episode, you heard the beginnings of this world. And if you haven't, you need to go listen to it. And then this one is just a continuation of that. And so you get to see how it works in real time, because we haven't done any brainstorming outside of this.
Right. Right. Super, super fun. Okay. So Tamara, do you want to give us a little synopsis of the novel that we started to create?
Yes. So we started literally from scratch. We were like, do you want to do fantasy? Do you want to do sci-fi? And so we decided on fantasy, a medieval fantasy. And it's set on a world that has four elf clans. Did we call them clans? Four elf clans. And they're associated with different elements. And so the elf clans are forest, water, fire, and rock. And so, for instance, the elves that are forest elves look like sort of like Ents, or sort of like, I was thinking of them as a cross between Legolas and Ents, in that they look very tree-like, they have bark-like skin, they have green hair. And then same with the water, fire, and rock elves. They look like their elements, kind of. They have a magic that's related to that. And the sort of rough plot we've got so far is the main character is a tree elf girl, a forest elf. Her characterization, as far as we got, was she had long green flowing hair and bark-like skin. She's a daughter of someone who's well off. And in this particular culture, when you get married, she is betrothed. And when you get married, the guy has to go on this quest to a cave that is the source of magic. She's kind of rebellious. And so right before they're going to get married, she wants to go on the quest, right? Is that what
yeah,
we decided?
Instead of the guy, yeah.
Instead of the guy, and her father said that she can go as long as she has someone to go with her. And enter a character that we're thinking of as like the PETA-like character, who is from, you know, PETA from Hunger Games. And he is a very quiet person, and he has long been in love with her very quietly. She doesn't know it. And so they go on the road, and along the way, they meet an old woman. And the old woman seems like kind of a bumbling character, like she doesn't know much, but in reality, she's very, very powerful. But she's also someone who lets the world go in its own way, but she guides things a little bit. Anyway, they're going along and she gets captured by this race, one of the races we're going to create, that are kind of lizard creatures. They're an alien race from across the sea. And let me see. Yeah, so then enter another character who's very charismatic, but he's someone who went on this quest and never came back. He decided he didn't want to get married, and so he's an outcast, but he's really charismatic. He can buffalo people, and in these particular cultures, we decided sometimes there's a trade in fake ornaments and stuff. You carry your power with you by wearing, like, you know, if you're a dirt elf, you would wear dirt elf or something, you know, rock elf, you would have rock jewelry that would help you with, give you your power. But there is a trade in false ornaments because people who are outcast try to fake it. Anyway, so he's trying to fake it. And then that was almost as far as we got. They go and they have to decide whether they're going to continue on the quest or rescue the woman, because they hardly know her. But then they go to rescue her and she just pops up behind them, and she was treated well and she doesn't need rescue. And I think that was about as far as we got. Is it?
Yeah. So we've got to keep going on the plot, I think.
Obviously. Yes, plot and the characters. All right, So,
right. So first off, we're going to just have some fun and talk about a few of our creations for these characters. So I think it's only right to start with the main character. So
yes,
I think the first thing we should do is actually name her.
Right.
What's her
so
name?
So what sorts of names? I always, in this particular case, I'm drawn to like the Raxura what's her name? Wrote the murder bots. Martha Wells. She wrote a Raxura. And so I think we talked about this. She has names like Moon and Quartz and things like that for her characters. That feels like a little simple.
I think we were going to go along that, like, think of, for the tree clan, think of different tree names that sound kind of feminine or masculine, but they're not in the outline, of course.
She was like Astra?
Yeah, Astra. Astra was Astra. The old lady.
Oh, that was the old lady. No, I thought she was. Oh, okay. That's the old lady. Okay. Then I don't remember what we had for her then.
I think it was going to be something like Birch. That's kind of not girly, though, is it? It could be like Burka or.
See, I'm drawn to A names, apparently, because I'm thinking Aspen.
Acorn. Or you could do Acorna or something. So, like, it's the same word. It's just kind of girly.
Let's go with Acorna for now. Let's just start with that. And if we come up with a better
one. We could even do a vote. We could have our listeners vote on some names and brainstorm with us. So if you can think of any names, then names that fall into kind of tree-like.
Forest. Trees. Of course, it doesn't have to be a tree. It could be like some sort of moss or fungus or because it's a forest group, while trees is probably the main thing. There are also other kinds of things in the forest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Help us brainstorm. But for now, we're thinking Acorna.
Acorna.
Okay.
Yes.
So now that we have her name, what does she look like?
Okay. So we have established she has long green hair. Are we thinking light green or dark green or?
I think she should have dark green, like
so, like forest green, like moss almost. Okay, so forest green hair.
What's her hair like? I'm thinking it should be like flowy, but kind of like not translucent because I think that's more water-ish.
Right.
So it should be.
It could be kind of long and shaggy, but it won't be as beautiful that way,
like,
but
mossy,
like mossy kind of long kind of.
See,
kind
I of. Think the interesting thing about creating characters and species is that while we think that obviously like humans having mossy hair would be kind of disgusting, but like you can create what is beautiful in a culture, right?
Yes.
You can decide as a writer, no, mossy hair is actually beautiful.
Yeah, and it can be, if it's a kind of a curly mossy, then it would be actually be kind of fluffy and long. It wouldn't be flowing and long. So
fluffy, mossy.
Fluffy and long. Okay.
I think that's kind of cool.
I do too.
Okay, so saying that her skin is like bark, I think that's really super cool. But do we want her to be beautiful? As in beautiful to the reader, or we're deciding that she's beautiful because it's like a different culture?
Well, I guess if we're going with the elven kind of thing, it would be like she would be more human-like. But if we don't, I mean, there's all kinds of characters that are less human-like that are, I think, beautiful. But I mean, we certainly could make a bark-like skin that's like almost a lizard skin. Like it's textured, but it's not like pieces falling off. You know, I mean, because bark comes in all different colors. She could have like aspen bark, like birch bark, or she could have dark brown with more texture. You know, there's even some, I don't know, what do you think? I go back and forth between aspen and like a dark brown with kind of almost a not a scaly, but like a textured thing.
Yeah, I think like it would be cool to have a textured look.
Okay.
It's just hard in my head because I think we associate textured skin with old people.
Right.
And, wrinkle, and it's not necessarily a beautiful thing,
right? So. Yeah, well, but they've done some really cool, I've seen some really cool drawings of characters that have more of a it's more of a pattern than it is.
Yeah, I think a like pattern a rough would be pattern. Really cool.
So it looks bark like, but it's not going to have like pieces falling off of it and wrinkly. It's going to be like a regular kind of pattern, a of some sort. Okay, and so if she's that way, then most, well, I guess it, all of them don't, talking about being various, they don't all have to have that same dark bark-like skin. There can be some that are like aspen, some that are cottonwoods, with, because even trees, as they age, they get more rough and stuff. So a young tree bark look different than an older tree bark. Bottom line, our tree, our forest elves will have different kinds of skin. That's yes. That'll be their variation. But she is going to have a darker skin with a pattern. I'm thinking somewhat larger eyes. It's kind of dark and shadowy in the forest. They'll be able to see a little better than, say, I don't know, eyes. What do you think?
Eyes. Yeah, I think a little bit larger. I honestly think that maybe eyes should be kind of like the similarity between the races, where they're the same shape and have the same-ish abilities, but they have different colors.
Okay. So they tend to be one color within each clan.
Yes. The wooden people. Maybe they just have the forest people. They have either green or brown eyes.
Ooh, yes. Okay, green or brown. I like that. Brown. Are we going to do anything interesting as far as making them an interesting shape or have them a different type of pupil? Or
maybe we should do a few pupil designs. Because okay. all I can think of is like a cat, but
right,
I like right. the cat idea.
With the cat idea, well, she'll look really cool. I like the cat idea. I mean, it's forest shadowy cats, you know, tigers hunting. I like it. Let's do cat eyes. The more of a slit, not quite as wide on the pupil, a little bit narrower. Not goat-like though. Those are creepy. Okay, cat eyes. Okay, sounds good. Maybe their eyebrows matching their hair. And so we're going to make them very human-like, obviously. So their nose and mouth, same.
Yep.
Nose and mouth the same. Okay.
But I think that their ears should be more like openings that you would see in a tree.
Ooh, yeah.
Imagining something a little bird would go into.
Right.
Tree-like.
Ears, tree openings. I like that. And it's kind of like the aliens, the classic aliens you see with their big heads, you know, they have those little tiny ear hole kinds of things. And it could be like, kind of like, yeah, I like that. Ear tree openings, like knots or whatever.
Yeah, like okay. A knot. And I think they should be very tall. That makes sense.
Okay. Yes. Well, yes.
Tall people.
Tall
and slender.
Tall and slender. Okay.
They're like a green and brown Woody Nabby.
There you go. Green and brown. That'll be our catchphrase. I'm going to write that down. Green and brown Woody Nabby. Got it.
What's their like special physical abilities? We've seen in characters that are tree-like that they can form roots out of their fingers and connect to the earth with like, as in roots come out of their limbs.
I feel like they, I don't know, should they have a physical ability? Should they have a magical ability? Should they have both?
I feel like there should be something physical that distinguishes all of them more than just their look. Or if it's not a physical thing, something that their culture focuses on. Say one culture is very into reading and writing. Right. And the other culture is very into more like militaristic, sporty things and kind of characterize cultures of the clans.
So for complexity, we should probably do a range within the clans.
Yes.
And it should be based on where their, what their power comes from and their ability. So stones would have a more stone-like thing and forest would have a more forest-like. And I also like the idea of them having sort of a magic. They tend to have a magic ability and a physical ability because that will give us a little bit of, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Okay. So I think that their magic ability should be something to do with plants and
right. growth,
because that makes sense. So like you could say that their culture has most of the food supply or something.
Food. Like what was our fourth? Let me see. We were... Forest, water, fire, and rock. I forgot fire. There we go. Okay. I'm writing these. So say that again. Sorry.
If you think of a forest, you think of growth and food and plants.
Maybe their magic ability is they can help things grow. That's their magic ability. And in extreme cases, the very, very powerful ones can bring things back to life.
Mm, okay. Wow. That's good.
Help. So that's their magic one. Help grow and bring back to life is there. Okay. And their physical one, what do you think?
What can be a physical extension of that magic?
Maybe they can't make themselves grow, but they make them physically, they can physically transform. We could make the limitation that they can only do themselves, or we can make the limitation that they can only do other people, because that's sort of the social thing. You said something about them. No, that's the lizard people that get to transform back and forth. Right.
Yeah. So I think we should keep that for those people.
Yeah. What else could they do? They could something about time, but that's more of a magical thing. They speed up time, see long time, have a long memory. They could have like a social, not a social memory. What is it called when you remember what your parents remembered? Species memory, genetic memory.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like reading and writing because we get the materials from paper and from pens.
Oh, yeah.
Pens are essentially like they used to be just wood, right?
Right. So they're a librarian culture.
They're a librarian culture. So I'm just thinking like what do they think is important? Where do they get a meaning for life? What is important? What's their like expectation for their young people? I think that I like the whole memory. Memory is important.
Right.
So that would give reason for writing. So you could say maybe when this type of people die, they actually just plain turn into trees.
Ooh, I like
that. And then the people left behind are charged with etching into those trees the people's story. And that's kind of why you keep writing.
Okay, right. Yeah. Writing. Okay, so we write story. There's a tradition of writing a person's story.
Yeah.
But as an extension of that, keeping knowledge.
Yeah, keeping knowledge. So knowledge, story, continuation, that's important.
Right. Okay.
There's culture.
So I guess we could say physical/culture.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The highest level job that you would want your kid to do, that would be like, I'm very proud of my child, would be?
A librarian.
A librarian. Or we could say...
college professor.
I think it would be more like the very best job. The job that you won't want your child to do is the actual job of keeping the, like, let's say they're cemeteries.
Oh, my
gosh. They're not cemeteries. Yeah. They're just forests, really.
Right.
Interesting.
Then you could do all kinds of interesting things with the word forest playing on the word cemetery and kind of like, yes, forest equals cemetery. Yeah, I like that. It's like humans with their statues.
Yeah, they're like a bunch of statues to them.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So that's what you would want your kid to do. So keeping with that, what's like a shameful, what's the other spectrum?
Disregard, being impetuous, disregarding your history, bad, being impetuous. You wouldn't want someone who cuts down trees.
That would be very, very bad. So when I think of why you would cut down trees, I think of to stay warm or to build.
Sell it to other races or other clans.
Sell it to other races. Wow, you would be like the worst person ever.
Yeah, you would be
that. My goodness. And it could be interesting because like other clans don't understand that, right?
Yes.
And that could actually have brought on some of the wars and the disagreements.
Right. Right. Yeah, that implies that the clans they don't trade very much together. They don't know much about each other.
Mm.
If they don't know each other's cultures.
Right. That's really cool. That's some really cool like cultural background here. And you can really weave this into the main character and why she does the things that she does and how she thinks and how the other characters are so different.
Yes. Were we going to have the charismatic young man be a forest person as well? Or was
I feel like to make this really interesting, he should be something else.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes it even more controversial because you don't marry outside of your clan.
Yeah.
Like, what would happen?
Exactly. And she's going to fall in love with him. We had figured that
spoiler.
Part out.
Then
we have a love triangle. Okay, do we want to go on to a different plan and talk about...
So we have mostly described her physically. Right?
Yes, we haven't want to have any other oddities as far as... Let's talk about dress.
Yes.
Okay. So we also talked about jewelry. So jewelry and other kinds of adornment that bring natural materials with them. It could be their ancestor. It could be not just bringing their power, but also ancestor worship.
Yeah, that could be cool. Like a piece of their bark, which is very odd, actually.
Well,
right? Because it's like their skin.
Right. But people used to take people's hair when they died. In the Victorian times, there was a culture of death because people died all the time. And so they would do things like they would cut off pieces of hair and make rings and wear rings. They would make intricate sculptures out of the hair and they put them in lockets. In fact, there's whole frames of people's hair that are sculptured into natural scenes and stuff. And so people would do that.
Wow. Yeah. And that would be super interesting for this culture because they care so much about memory. They're almost like obsessed about memory, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So they just make jewelry out of anything that has to do with their parents or their grandparents or like their generations before. Like, so they could do bark, which is skin. Weird.
Right.
They could do
carvings.
Carvings.
Which is parts of body.
Yeah, carvings. So,
and seeds
maybe there's something interesting about carvings because maybe you need like special permission, or maybe that person you make a carving of is extra important. Like they have to have a different sort of status for you to actually take part of their body when they're
close
dead.
Close relationships.
Yeah, close relationship. And then maybe there's a culture of you have to bury it or something after a certain amount of time. There has to be like something sacred about a carving.
That could actually play a part in the plot at some point where somebody disregards a carving and
yeah.
Somebody gets angry about it. Yeah. So they have jewelry and adornments of that type.
So are those jewelry pieces part of, because we were talking about what they have to do when they're outside of their territory to continue having their magical ability. And is that part of it, or is that something separate?
No, I think that should be part of it. So their adornment also gives them the power because it comes from their ancestors, right?
Right. Okay.
And there has to be trees that are not people too, right? Or maybe they think of them. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
not.
I don't know. I think it would be super interesting if they actually just were all people. Because if they're not, then how do you distinguish them? And I think that it makes their culture make more sense why they're so crazy about what they do, because it seems like overboard, but it's not when you think these were their
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And things that are just trees are not just trees there, but just very, very ancient ancestors.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Maybe they continue to grow after they die because they become.
Yeah. Trees. So that's also why it's important to, tend to them, and that's why they also have magic still.
Yes, and they pass that magic on. Ooh, I like it.
We are just gonna take a 20-second break for an advertisement. We'll be right back. Here at 1,000 Lives Lived, we have an exciting announcement. We are going to be launching our very own literary magazine. We're looking for talented writers to write us some splash fiction, short stories, and poetry. We'll be featuring 5 authors on our covers every month, and we will also be posting each story to our website. So be sure to keep up with this news. We'll be launching this fall. Okay, welcome back, friends. Hazel Danes and Tamara Lindsay here. We're in the middle of our second bonus content episode where we are building a medieval fantasy world live. So let's get right back into it.
Okay, so that's the forest. So
it's really old and really thick.
Old and thick.
Old, thick.
And especially since of the magic made it thick.
Yeah.
Too. old and thick. So, and it's got all kinds of undergrowth, and they live high in very old trees.
I think that we should assume that they're cold because it's shady. And if you're high up, you're a little colder. And so they've got to have some sort of cloak, kind of imagining like a cape.
A really cool medieval cloak. Yes.
Yes.
Every medieval fantasy needs to have wonderful cloaks, I think.
Well, so what is it made of? I think it should be something like leaves.
Yeah, yeah. Like Lothlorien. I think of the pin that Galadriel gives Frodo. Oh, Frodo? Yeah, gives Frodo with the leaf. I don't remember what kind of leaf it is. Yeah,
that sounds beautiful good. Anyway.
Yeah, beautiful.
I think that it should be not like, I'm not imagining like crunchy leaves. I'm imagining like very, very soft.
Well, they can create it with magic. The leaves can be alive.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I like that. So alive, fluttery, smooth, leafy cloak.
Yes. Yes.
Is it colorful?
Well, I mean, that could be like personal choice. You could do it however
you
want.
Or you class.
Could choose. Or class. Ooh. I had a professor who talked about material culture in Renaissance times. And one of the things she talked about was the class sartorial laws, where people would have only one set of clothing. And there were rules. There were rules about class, what you could wear and you couldn't wear, according to, because, you know, people who were poor would want to appear richer. So they would try and wear clothes that were above their class.
Yes.
And so there was all these rules. I like
That's what the Romans did. The Romans had some serious clothing laws. If you were caught wearing the wrong type of toga, you were in trouble.
Ooh.
There was first gender specific togas.
Okay.
And then there was class specific. And actually the word toga is for higher classes. I'm assuming it was tunic for a really poor person. It was just like a long shirt dress with a belt.
Shift.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, shift. You weren't even allowed to have a toga if you weren't of a certain social status. We could build that in because that's always something in a society. There's always status regardless of even no matter what kind of society, I think there's always some sort of status. It's just a matter of how you treat each other.
Right. Everything tells a story. That's one of the things that was really cool when I was going to grad school. We talked about was how buildings reflect the inhabitants. And examples of this is, so you can read a building. Like if you go into a professor's office that is uncomfortable around students or is shy or wants to push students away, like they'll have books stacked everywhere and there's no place to sit. And if you go into an English department, looks way different than if you go into, say, an engineering building. An engineering building will be very square, very sort of, you know, controlled, and things will be very orderly. You know, I mean, it's reading a building. And so clothing is very much that way too. You're telling people about yourself through your clothes, right?
I think that's really, really interesting. So even if you cannot even have a cape, unless you're of a specific class, I think.
Ooh,
and then there's
yes.
variations of what the cape looks like, depending on your class. So cape equals higher class.
Okay. And she has it. And does she have a cape?
Yeah, she has a cape.
Yes, she has a cape.
She has not the highest cape, but the middle, I think.
Middle cape. Yep.
So the highest should be like something like a silver cape or something, like something that's really, really bright. And
it could be like an heirlooms that are passed down.
Yeah, so that would be cool.
Yeah.
They're heirlooms, like the special ones.
I mean, they could even be parts of your ancestors, right? They could
be like... that's so weird, <It's like> a... but in the morbid sort of way, but it's really, really cool.
Well, it's like a quilt, right?
Yeah,
like their histories in a quilt.
That's really cool. So then you just never stop wearing it, but it's okay because they don't really get smelly.
Right. They smell.
Why would they get smelly? Yeah.
Right.
So the middle class isn't allowed to have cape, but what do they have? They still need something to be warm. I think it should be like a sort of, I'm imagining a giant scarf that has a head opening and it's just on
like
you.
a shawl.
Less
cape-like and more shawl-like.
Yeah, it could be like a, not a knitted, maybe if it's knitted, then it's mossy.
Okay, right.
Knitted, mossy. So it's got like the knitted mossy look.
Sounds good.
And it's always got a sort of woodsy color. So right. A variation of brown and red, and not red, green.
And then green. And they're not allowed to have the silver ones or like the red or the white. Right. I mean, they're limited in color. Okay, asterisk, we'll need to talk about how they have kids. Their biology.
Mm, yeah. We'll save that for another episode. Go through reproductive abilities in one big episode. That should be fun. We'll get lots of hits for that, I think.
There we go. That's right. How do they have sex? We'll see.
Next episode.
Yes. Well, reproductive in biology in general, because they're going to be human-like because we're making them human-like in some ways, but they have to have some differences because if they're tree-like, they have to have. Yeah. So we'll talk about that.
Okay. Oh, my. Okay. So what does the poorest tree thing wear?
I mean, just basically piles of things you would think like, I mean, I'm thinking what's the equivalent of caveman, just like rather than a more intricately made shawl, whether it's knitted or whatever, it would just be like a simple wrap. I don't know.
I think it could just be like sticks and leaves sewn together somehow. It's not completely covering everything, not in like a, you know, sexual way, but like as in it's like netting in right, some ways.
Right. Right. And they're just basically they look like a pile of debris, basically.
Yeah.
Less artful. So we need to talk about their biology, but also their money.
So economic system. That will take some preparation, I think. Wow. But no, we're not supposed to prep. We're supposed to do on the spot.
No, we're doing it on the spot. We'll figure it out.
Okay. So is there any other physical things that we need to sort out? Does she have a tail?
Trees don't have tails.
No. I don't think she needs a tail.
I don't think she needs a tail. Yeah. I don't think she needs a tail. Does she have wings?
Does she have horns? Not horns, but just things sticking out of her hair that are...
So what we're talking about is body variation. So what kinds of variation would different... I mean, I like the idea. I mean, they could have like branches coming out of interesting places. They could have... Their form should be generally the same, but they could have like different... Because trees have different... So they could have slightly... I mean, that would be cool. Some people could look very beautiful according to human standards, and some people could look almost unhuman-like.
Yeah.
Because of body form. What do you think?
I think that it would be easier to make her look beautiful if she had like a sort of twiggy crown thing on her head. And that's like the female-male distinction. Like females have like a thingy.
A natural sort of, not tiara, but a crown of something. What do they call
twigs.
Laurel? Laurel?
Yeah.
Laurel?
Females should have some sort of head decorative woodsy
natural
thing,
laurel or decoration. Okay. Does that mean men have sort of horn like things, or do they have nothing? Or
I think that they should have like horn like things. Okay. Yeah, these concepts can be very important to attraction, I think. Okay, so in human society there's a lot of, you know, more jokes about what makes you look more manly, and it doesn't necessarily actually mean anything to your reproductive ability, right?
Right. We have a standard joke, size matters.
Yeah, it's a joke. It doesn't actually really mean anything, but what if these horns and these things on their heads actually did reflect their ability or not?
Yeah, okay.
That means that you're at a significant disadvantage. You can know by looking at someone if they would be a good spouse or not.
Well, spouse or reproducer, not necessarily the same thing.
Right. We'll just say reproducer. And reproducing is important because it's perpetuating memory, right?
Right. Okay, good. We certainly could use size as an indication, but we could also use something, you could use things more subtle.
No, I think that's a good point. We shouldn't just use size. It could be, I think there should be something important to the culture about brightness versus dullness.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm not 100% taken this from Avatar, but I just love the, in Avatar, where the planet has like these lights.
Luminescence
that could makes, be. It indicates health or aliveness, right? And I think that's just like so beautiful. So not necessarily that their head is glowing, but that
they have a halo. I mean, it could translate to women too, in that they have a halo, you know?
So the brighter their head
brighter or, piece, or more luminescent.
Or luminescent, the more ability they have. And it, that could even be magical ability as well.
And is it all the time, or is it just when they're attracted, or do they have control over it?
I think it should just be all the time. Like, it's just the characteristic of them.
Okay. All the time. So you can't hide it.
You can't hide it. It also could make them in danger more, because you're trying to hide and you're lighting up. So that's not necessarily a great.
It's like a deer. I mean, during rutting season, the males become very aggressive and they're very loud and they're very out there. So they're more likely to be killed by hunters and other things, because they're, you know, in a bit of a frenzy and they don't pay attention. And so being more feral makes you more apt to get killed.
Right.
Question, which I don't know if we want to answer this time. Are there only two genders, two sexes, or do we have a range? Or
I think for simplicity, it is good to have just the male and female, especially when we don't know how they reproduce right now.
Yeah, let's shelve that one and talk about it later, because I do believe that things happen in a continuum, most things in life, but it doesn't have to be the central part of our story, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. So do men and women both have?
I think so. I think so. Because then women could have like a halo kind of thing going on, or a, you know.
So reproductive and magical ability, I think.
Okay. Sounds good. So people can't hide their magic ability, how much magic ability they have.
Yeah. They can't hide it. It's just like a part of who they are, like down to not just physical. And it's a part of their history as well.
So if you're a chosen one, we're not doing a chosen one, but if you were a chosen one, you would glow like a light bulb.
Like a reindeer.
Like Rudolph. Rudolph, oh my God.
That's fun. Chosen that one.
Rudolph is our chosen one.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is just so fun. I just go on for hours.
Yeah, this was more of a cultural talk than a physical talk, but that's okay, because they kind of intertwine in a lot of ways.
Right. And I love how we're talking about these are traits, but they're like the different world building things we were reading and watching. We're not doing like one trait or one thing. We're doing a range of this is sort of the trait, and this is the different expressions that they can have, you know?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have all men have horns of this shape. I mean, you could, that would be interesting, but it's nice to have ranges of things, especially if you're basing it on a tree, which would have all kinds of different variation. Yeah.
Yeah. We're focusing on traits that are attractive, which then assumes that not everyone will have that.
I mean, we're kind of basing the attractiveness on what human standards are. Are we going to talk about the different standards for, I mean, maybe that's something we can talk about another time too, is what are the standards of beauty for them?
Well, we'll have to go through our reproductive talk and talk about the dating process and the
attractive. Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to be talking about sex.
Oh my. So this is going to take a very long time. We have gone through one type of people, and we have about five.
I think that these basic traits for this thing, a bunch of it will translate over. For the rock people, for the stone people, they will have the same sort of, since they're the same basic race, they're just a different clan, they will also have the same sort of sexual characteristics that we, and they will also, if it's not light up, I mean, it certainly could be light up, but they'll have some of the same basic stuff, maybe. Either that or they're a totally different race, but I don't think we want that, because they have to intermarry.
Yeah, they have to have the ability to, but I think that there should be a sort of cultural, like, we've never done that before. So
like, why are you attracted to rock people?
Yeah. So again, as a disclaimer, we're not getting into real life racial discussions where that is not at all what we're doing.
Right.
It's fictional. It's fantasy.
Right.
It's fun. That's all.
Right. And I mean, as we were talking about hair texture and skin color, I was very aware as we were talking about the connotations that it could have in the real world. And I mean, that's absolutely something that needs to be considered, but we are trying not to make those commentaries at the moment. We're just playing at the moment and trying to create different interesting combinations, which I think we have.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like this. We're copying and pasting a tiny bit from a couple things that stand out to us in literature, but that just happens.
So. But I think that's exactly right. That's what often happens is you start with something that you're used to and then you start playing on it and riffing on it and it becomes something totally different. But that's a good way to start. I mean, I'll do that with my professional writing where I'll need to sound like an engineer or I'll need to sound like a botanist or something. And I am not a botanist nor an engineer. And so I just go borrow some language from somebody who does know what they're talking about and then make it my own because then I can get into the rhythm of it.
Well, one thing I was going to talk about as a sort of separate subject was before recording this, we had given ourselves a bit of homework to draw some characters as in other species, other creatures. I call them aliens. I'm not a drawer. I don't draw things. I am absolutely horrific, really.
And that's not your creative process.
No. So the image in my head is great. Or at least it has the potential to be great. Sometimes it's not even very good. For this exercise, I tried to just use my iPhone, which means I had my finger as a pen, which did not work. But that wasn't the only challenge for me. It was that because I used the word alien, this is all that came to mind.
So it's like a little classic. She drew a little classic alien with a big head and antenna, and it's very cute. Oh my God, big eyes. I love it.
That's the Martian. You think of Martian. This is what that's what I think of anyway. And I couldn't get anywhere near these tree people. Like there's just.
Not something that you need to do, but one thing you might think about doing is collage. Look at pictures on the internet and paste things together. I mean, just as an idea.
Yeah. So having a bunch of images in front of you and taking what you like, I think that we're going to do that as part of our video here, but that is a good hint at how to do this well, instead of just taking your word alien and getting stuck in what you're calling it in your head, find some images that you like.
I tend to be someone who if it's an alien or a planet or whatever, I will draw stuff. I'm not like an amazing artist, but I am a longstanding, I mean, I've done art my whole life. And so I do think visually that way. And so I will have like all kinds of drawings as I'm doing my brainstorming. And so what she was saying was, we are going to actually do some creativity, record some drawings, do some outside videos because they have to be visual while talking about creating creatures. And so they're not going to be related to this fantasy world. They're going to be just, we're going to create creatures. And I was thinking I would create an alien race, a sentient spacefaring race. And I actually already have one that I've started a long time ago. I just got the idea for them that I might work on for this. And then also creatures that are not spacefaring, like dogs and cats, only aliens, the creatures that run around on a planet, or they could be plants or whatever. I don't know. So we were going to do some of that and have those as extras.
And it was mostly geared towards you and your abilities because, oh my goodness, you don't even want to know. Okay.
So, I mean, the thing to take away from it is everybody's different. Everybody creates differently. And you have to both embrace your strengths and weaknesses and also forgive yourself that you're not doing it like somebody else.
Yeah. Well, I think it is extremely ironic that for my brain, the part that I can't wrap my head around is the length of the process. For writing, I completely understand that it takes a long time to write a novel. And I'm okay with that because I enjoy it and because I am confident in my abilities. The same cannot be said about drawing. Because of the lack of confidence I have, I don't take that time to process and to, I guess, because the enjoyment isn't there because I don't see the result. I don't look at it and say, oh, this is great. This is worth my time.
Well, My first drafts really suck too. So I'm going to show you this. So this was just me scribbling. So it's just, it's like my first drafts tend to be like really scribbly, but then I'll come back and I'll do more finished drawings. So, I mean, the head is a little more finished, but it's just kind of sketched in at the moment. And then I'll come back and redo it, kind of play with it. If I get a decent drawing, and I'm planning on trying to get a decent drawing, and I've even been doing a lot of ink wash lately. So maybe ink wash, I don't know. Or possibly digital, I don't know. I'll send it and we'll post it.
Listeners, if you have any drawings that you want to do based on our audio descriptions, please. That would be amazing. You can tweet them at 1000lived or just visit our website and send it to us in our contact page, www.1000liveslive.com. That would be amazing.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Also, if you want to submit a few suggestions for other races, we're still in the adding stage of this story. So if you have any other ideas for races, that would be amazing as well.
Yes.
Be a part of this world building experience with us.
And it can be types of plants, animals, you know, whatever.
So. Yeah, I think animals would be a great addition to our world. We don't really have that many feral animals involved.
So we need them.
Yes.
All right. Well, this has been great. We will continue brainstorming. And next time or the time after that, we'll talk about sex. And, it'll be fun.
Okay. Yes. Tune into that. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Well, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to our channel. We've got some great shows coming up with amazing practical advice for writers. And for the bookworms, fun features on new and exciting books soon to be released. You don't want to miss out. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for all the updates. And if you'd like to be on our show, pitch us your idea on any of our pages. Until next time, keep writing, keep reading, and you'll live 1000 lives.